Bonjour, bienvenue à Mapping Paris, a podcast that takes you around the city of Paris and all its different sites. Each episode is by a different student and will give you an insight onto a new place and how they approached it. From the Rosa Parks mural to the Hasard Ludique, you will discover a new way of encountering Paris.
Infrastructure Becomes Icon by J.G. Dolder. How has the Aqueduct of Louvain become the passive organizer of development? An analysis of the 17th century engineering feat, which has inspired protean purpose and continued relevance. Overlooking the hilltop above the Seine River, in a charming village just outside of Versailles, magnanimous stands the Aqueduct of Louvain. This quartier, this quarter, was developed around inspiration and relaxation. Magnetically, the area attracts artists, intellectuals, and world leaders to its presence. The area was always destined to be a little slice of calm outside of the bustle of the surrounding cities. Notably humble yet strong, the aqueduct is positioned in image and purpose. It is important to understand Louvain, a mixture of the campagne and urban life in the western suburbs of Paris. A well-connected transient village with a direct commuter train ending at Saint-Lazare station. There is an express bus route which operates between Saint-Germain-en-Laye and Versailles, while also in close proximity to the A13 highway, which enables driving into the center of Paris, a region of fresh air, former farms and fields, which also includes two forests. Recently, a small vineyard has reemerged on the hill, descending toward the village. From the top, one can enjoy a perfect view of a provincial square with an 11th century church in the center. The Seine River to the north on the lowest point and the aqueduct atop the highest point. It is in this quartier we will discover in the village of the wolves, the Louves. Louvainois view their towering aqueduct as a reference point. This structure is part of the local descriptive identity, a vantage point of pride, a reminder of bleaker days, but always of change. The infrastructure has become an iconic landmark, not just locally, but internationally. The painting formerly titled Aqueduct at Marly inspired conversations with the team at Toledo Museum of Art. Shared information led to an updated title to Aqueduct at Louvain. It was through this painting by Alfred Sisley that your author began to analyze the historical iconography of this aqueduct. This impressionist painting has been interpreted to represent neglect and abandonment, leading your author to contrive a better understanding as to the relevance of this aqueduct from infrastructure to icon. Defining the parameters. This scale used to define the space will be the original pathways, the chemins. Each bears the name of their specific purpose. The aqueduct was built alongside the King's Rue de Versailles, commencing with the North Levant Tower, Allée des Arches, and concluding with the smaller Jongleur Tower on Allée de la Tour du Jongleur. The southern perimeter is located inside the fortified walls of the Château de Mali on Allée des Réservoirs. To the east, where the Château of Louvain stands on Chemin de la Machine, and west descending the hill on Chemin de l'Aqueduc, toward the watering pool for the horses on Avenue de Le Prévois. While this space has been reorganized countless times, we will focus on the most definitive moments of change. During the medieval era, the Seine River of this region was utilized as a fishery, conscripted to Charles Martel. Later in the 12th century, the land was noted for wine production, with vineyards covering the Louvain Hill. The space developed most significantly through a vision of Louis XIV, Louis XIV, and his ambition to create beautiful garden spaces with intricate fountain displays. Led by Robert de Coutey, the king's engineering team, his Bâtiment des Rois, proposed a solution looking toward methods from antiquity. Utilizing the Seine River by constructing both the Machine de Mali to pump the river's water and the brilliance of the iconic Roman aqueduct would enable water to arrive into Versailles. Constructed between 1681 and 1685 with Jules Ardouin Mansart and Baron Arnaud de Ville, this aqueduct contains 36 arches. During construction, Louis XIV decided to build a weekend retreat and create another magnificent garden just across from the infrastructure. The underneath space was lined with stone markers, engraved with the king's fleur-de-lis, the symbol of the crown, as these chemins were always intended to be part of the narrative. After the French Revolution of 1789, the designated chemins were listed as part of civil property. As early as 1815, there were pleas to decommission the aqueduct and use modern underground methods for water distribution. Major complaints regarded the constant noise pollution of the machine and the pungent odor known around the aqueduct Gatier. Operating costs were also far over budget, while not providing any drinking water to the inhabitants, even during a typhoid epidemic. During the operational period, farming was still relevant around the Levant Tower, and there were also two enclosed village cemeteries in use. Many celebrated people have been buried here, including Verger Le Brun in 1842, the famed painter and portrait artist to royals and aristocrats of Europe. Decommissioned in 1866, the aqueduct underwent yet another transformation, from infrastructure to ruin, as the disagreeable smells dissipated. Some expanses returned to wilderness, while other parcels were developed. Soon after the shift, a wave of painters flocked to the area and took up residency. Degas and Pissarro lived with the aqueduct in their back gardens, while Monet, Renoir, and Sicily worked around the aqueduct Gatier. Between 1869 and 1895, there are more than 120 known paintings of this area. Presently in this region, 35 have been reproduced as signs and placed in the approximate locations where the artist stood while painting, which has created a modern impressionist walking plan. The emergent use of space was then transformed into a military stronghold. During the Franco-Prussian War between 1870 and 1871, Bismarck occupied this Gatier, utilizing the Levant Tower as a lookout point, with the aqueduct ascending into the background of many battles. The destruction of this area is especially noted by the Pissarro family. Their home was occupied by soldiers, with horses inhabiting the ground floor and sheep in the lower level. Thousands of early Impressionist works were destroyed and looted with this disruption. After the war, the French army militarized the zone, which included many of the chemins, and they also developed the batteries between 1884 and 1926, initiating another redesign into the land organization. Classified as a national monument in 1953, the aqueduct's role again transformed. That same year, passing over the aqueduct en route to Paris, the Pétrie de France began to fly over as part of their celebration on Bastille Day, July 14th. Additionally, Henri, Count de Paris, direct descendant of Louis-Philippe de Orléans, roi de France, returned from exile with his family and set up residence in the Manoir de Coeur Volant. The Museum of the Domaine de Mali opened its doors, and then the Levant Tower also underwent structural renovation. Several progressive civic changes occurred. The batteries transformed into the village public works, and part of the Coeur Volant property was designed as a sports field, a stade. Within the past decade, there have been many additional zoning projects. The perimeter underneath the aqueduct continues to be redesigned for public use. Theater space has been allocated in one of the batteries, approximately close to the cemetery, for the annual Festival des Arches. The village bus route has recently expanded as well to include this Gatier. A bouloton was created for the Pétanque Club, and when the circus came to town, they organized around the aqueduct with camels and horses grazing under the arches. At present, the public works is moving from the bâtiments to within the stade. Parcels are currently being designed to provide affordable housing solutions within the village. The aqueduct of Louveciennes is part of the local narrative, maintained and constantly evolving in purpose with the times. In this site analysis, we have discovered a multifaceted history of an engineering marvel that has been utilized to organize the community peripheral space. This infrastructure was created as part of the ambitious garden projects ordered by Louis XIV for his beloved Chateau de Versailles. Over the duration of its existence, the site has operated as a strategic military location by the French crown, foreign occupiers, and the French Republic many times over. For an encapsulated moment, this ruin inspired the camaraderie of the developing Impressionist movement and stands as an iconic representation of that era. This space has been redesigned and allocated for a multitude of local and larger community activities. Most recently, the Aqueduct Gatier has been notably used in sports, civic, and community purpose. The Aqueduct of Louveciennes is far from a representation of neglect and abandonment. Rather, this infrastructure has been the passive organizer of space for the many inhabitants, or controllers, since the 17th century. Constantly evolving in purpose for the needs of each new era, maintaining iconic standing to artists and intellectuals for more than four centuries.
Thank you for tuning in to Mapping Paris, and we'll see you in 2 weeks for a new episode. Au revoir!